The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
All right, everybody, let us gather together for the 9 o'clock hour and your thoughts commingled with mine. Boy, you guys just notice everything. Some oblique reference that I can spit out and you go, oh, what are you talking about? That's okay. That's a good thing. So in my chat, at the end of my chat with Pat Fallon, he had talked about Crenshaw, about Dan Crenshaw. And I invoked Tucker Carlson's not-so-affectionate nickname for Dan Crenshaw, Eye Patch McCain. Yikes. And then I said, don't get me started on Tucker lately. Who's the next lunatic he will interview? Okay, well, y'all notice stuff I say. That would be a ref, and this is like, this has become vintage Tucker now. Like maybe 60 seconds on this. And you know I love the guy. And I'm entertained by the guy, and I am enriched by the guy intellectually most times. But I think one episode back, it was, and again, this is just vintage Tucker phraseology. How are Christians treated in Israel? Okay, well, been there. Spoken to plenty of Christians in Jerusalem. They did not speak of mistreatment at the hands of the keepers of the Jewish homeland. So where are we going? Where are we going here? Christian leaders in the West, they don't talk about this much. I was like, all right, what? Oftentimes when someone says, here's something people don't talk about much, maybe it's because it's not a thing. No, I'm always right. And of course, here's the I'm just asking questions element. So here is a Christian pastor from Bethlehem. Oh, Bethlehem. That certainly has a warm spot, right? Of course it does. Yeah, Bethlehem's been in the hands of the Palestinians for a long time. This guy was a Jew-hating Palestinian so-called Christian. And what his main drum to beat was is basically that Israel is terrible. And so Tucker wraps this in the, oh, I'm just asking questions to see how Christians are treated in Israel. Well, how Palestinians are being treated at the moment is a bit of a hotbed of contention because, hello, Hamas war. And so it's just so twisted and so weird. And I will love Tucker for the things that are lovable about him forever. People are complicated. I'm the king of compartmentalization when I feel that it's worthy. And with him, I totally think it's worthy. Every once in a while, like when he's talking about how gleamingly beautiful the Moscow subway stations are, like, what? Okay. All right. But there's conservative genius in Tucker. There always will be. There's a populism that I harmonize with and admire. The guy's great. He's very, very good at what he does. Some of the reaction to some of his recent stuff has been Tucker let loose from Fox is Tucker without guardrails. And that's going to get a little weird from time to time. I think it will. And I will gladly identify when those times are, along with the times when he is inspiringly and just energetically correct, which is most of the time. Anyway, so that's what that was. about. So from Trump VPs to Biden and his betrayal of Israel to, gosh, Cruz was on Hannity last night talking about, by the way, where'd that impeachment of Mayorkas go? Didn't we impeach him in the House? When's that get to the Senate? Cruz was talking about that. And because I just can't peel away from it. It's where are we? July, April, May, June, July. 3 months and 9 days. 3 months and 9 days. This will be right after the, mid-July is going to be wild around here. Let me set this up. Which one's going to attract more attention? The Trump convention? The week of, Trump will do his acceptance speech. It starts in Milwaukee, Monday, July 15th. Trump's acceptance speech will be Thursday night, the 18th. And then two nights later at Jerry World, Mike Tyson and Jake Paul. I can't peel away from this. It's like, and I don't know if the train wreck metaphor works because train wrecks are terrible. I mean, it's just, there's a dark part of us that leans into terrible things. This is either going to be terrible or it's going to be great. And what's the definition of terrible? Who do you want to win? I'm an old guy. I guess that puts me on, like Team Tyson, showing what old guys can do. I got nothing against Jake Paul. Tyson was on Hannity the other night. Jake Paul was on Jesse Waters last night. And the thing is here's the 58 and 28. Can the most fearsome fighter, perhaps in the history of fighters, Mike Tyson, still bring it against Jake Paul, who's 28, who's 9-1 against real boxers? This guy was a YouTuber, like an influencer media, modern media born thing. And then he at one point said, think I want a box. I'm like, okay, dude, see how that works out. Guess what? It's working out well. Dude's got talent. How much? I guess we'll find out. Well, do we find out in fighting, nearly 60-year-old Mike Tyson? I guess we do. And there's video of both of them working out, and they both look pretty fearsome. So what beats what? The youth and vigor and, in his prime talents of Jake Paul? Or does Mike Tyson still have enough of in the tank to win? Jake Paul was on Waters. I'll get to that. What do old guys have in the tank? I guess that's a little bit front of mind. As the Masters tries to... how's the weather? Hang on a second. I'm not going to bother Alexa. Augusta, Georgia weather. I think they had a rain delay a little bit there. I root for history, and I root for redemption. So those two things, I don't for a minute think Tiger's going to win the Masters. Not for a minute. When he did, I mean, that was crazy. When did he actually win? Was that 5 years ago, 2019? I mean, and I loved that. Told you I loved that. Because, first of all, history is awesome. That's why it's kind of fun watching those Mavs. We might be catching a big snoot full of history watching a generational talent in Luka as the Mavericks continue to pile up win after win after win. Are we going to get another NBA title? As we did in 2011, and another Stanley Cup as we did in 1999. Are we going to get that both in the next couple of months? That could be fun. So anyway, speaking of fun things, 866-660-5759 to the phones. We're in McKinney. Hey, Diane, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
We were talking just couple calls back about vice presidential candidates.
Yes.
And that popped in my head a couple days ago of Devin Nunes.
Wow.
He is loyal to Trump.
Yeah.
He is trustworthy.
Yeah.
He's got the experience of Congress and everything else. He's got a beautiful family and three lovely little girls we'd love to see at the White House.
Wow.
Well,
that is so
anyway,
sweet. Okay, let's dive in. For those that don't, I mean, if for people who remember, Devin Nunes as a California congressman, he was in Congress from like 2003 until 2022. He was chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Was on Fox like a lot and was really great in various ways. And since then, he has been the CEO of the Trump Media and Technology Group. So obviously they talk a lot now. So I'm curious though, out of all the names, all the things, it sounds like there's almost like are you a California person? Do you have familiarity? You just love watching him when he was on the TV box? What was it? What makes you have that specific effect?
I was in California.
There you go.
I lived in California for 72 years. My daughter said, Mom, sell your house. You're getting out of there. And she left everything we own, every friend we have, family, everything else, and moved to North Texas.
Well,
where there are Christians and conservatives, we couldn't handle
You got that right.
Newsom, Newsom anymore.
You got that right. A, good move. B, did you just say you lived past tense in California for 72 years?
Yep.
How can you tell me that when you sound like you're about 38?
I'm going to be 75 this year.
Man.
And I'm still going strong.
Clearly, with red hot VP recommendations and the ability to pack up and get on into Texas. So the Texas experiment 3 years in is working well for you?
Oh, yeah. I've been experiencing these tornado watches.
Well,
here.
Sorry. We do have those. We do have those, yeah. But that's a trade-off.
But it's worth it.
It sure is.
I got to tell you, it's worth it to have the freedom.
It sure is. What a uplifting, wonderful chat with you. And listen, Devin Nunes, please. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong. Yep. And this is kind of funny. This is funny.
Loyalty and honesty. And he went after Shifty.
Yep.
Shift.
Yes, he did.
He's a good guy.
No doubt about it. Diane, thank you. And this is 3 years later, but welcome. Thank you so much. What did I just talk about, though? What did I just talk about? At the end of our conversation with Congressman Pat Fallon, in the sort of the Vegas odds, Trump VP thing, which is stupid because nobody knows. Those who know aren't talking. Those who are talking don't know. But I guess if there's sort of a favorite, could be Tim Scott. Okay. Other names, Sarah Huckabee Sanders and, whoever else. J.D. Vance, Ilya Stefanik, Lee Zeldin, there are all kinds of folks who are mentioned. I said there ought to be a line for no one we're talking about right now. Someone who, once he is announced, everybody will go, oh, okay, I guess that makes sense. But it was nobody who was on the buzz list. Maybe it's because somebody who's not an elected official right now anymore. Maybe it's somebody who just isn't talked about as much in the last couple of years. And wouldn't it be something if that were indeed Devin Nunes, who is in the Trump organization right now at the Trump Media and Technology Group? Going to be something. Alrighty, 921-866-660-5759. Got a couple of other actual news stories before we get to Jake Paul and Jesse Waters. How about Cruz talking about the Mayorkas impeachment? Yeah, let's do that. We can do we're spinning several plates in the air at the same time. It's what we do. And we're always, always open to additional content from you. 866-660-5759. That's where you call us. That's where you text us on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. It is Thursday. We are so glad you're here. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. 1977, Alan Parsons Project. From iRobot. Breakdown. There you go, right? Long, cool woman in a black dress. Sometimes all I need is the air that I breathe. Alan Clark, borrowed by the great Alan Parsons for it. That iRobot album is so great. So, so, so great. The very futuristic scene on the front of that. Is at Charles, the recently built at that time Charles de Gaulle Airport in Paris. All right, well, I've wasted enough time on that. Let us hop down into the world of news with Nikki Whaley. Then we'll come back, have Ted Cruz tell us how that Mayorkas impeachment thing is going. As soon as I mention the Mayorkas impeachment on the ViaScan of Las Colinas text line. Yeah, Mark, wasn't Biden supposed to be impeached by now? Don't get me started. It was my observation some months ago, and this, I believe, has been borne out. I think it has, hasn't it? Is there anybody still walking around, we really need to impeach Biden? Man, when somebody is in the process, this old saw takes many shapes. When you have an opponent that's just busy stumbling all over himself, when they're busy destroying themselves, just leave it alone and let it go. I said some months ago that Biden impeachment struck me as a wheel-spinning waste of time. And everybody came back and said, oh, we're going to learn so much about the Hunter Biden laptop. No one cares about the Hunter Biden laptop, except those of us who aren't going to vote for Biden anyway. If somebody tomorrow talked about impeaching Biden for the border, now we're talking. Because we'll be talking border. If we impeach Biden for stupid laptop stuff and Biden crime family stuff, and of course it's all real, and of course it's all damaging, and of course it's all a reason, but it doesn't win us any new votes. Sitting there and watching Jim Jordan interview Tony Bobulinski for 6 hours, I just no, not the best use of our time. Not the best use of our time. All right, best use of my time is hopping into the newsroom and then going to the phones with you. 866-660-5759. Mark Davis, 931. Here's Nikki. I thought it was time for some Tramp. Gonna lie for you. Gonna die. Rick Davies and Roger Hodgson. Super Tramp from Crisis. What Crisis? Ain't nobody but me. All righty. Ted Cruz on Hannity last night, and it's kind of funny because you can forget stuff just sort of momentarily, and then we did do that. Remember, Mayorkas got impeached. Now they tried and whiffed and tried again and succeeded, and now there's the notion of the Mayorkas impeachment. Of course, where's the next place it has to go? It has to go to the Senate. Danger. Will Robinson gets a house run by Democrats. They have no interest in. And this is weird because all he's going to do is get. All right, I'm going to call it vindicated because isn't vindicated when. When the overall conclusion is you just didn't really deserve the fate that was hanging in the balance for you, rather than just the technicality of acquittal, he's going to be acquitted. There's no way they got 2/3 of people in the Senate who are going to vote to actually convict and remove so-called HHS Secretary, Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas. But the idea, there's this plot underway. That to table the impeachment, just to not, it arrives in the Senate and we just go, and they just go, and give it the back of their hand by sort of refusing to take it up. So what do you do in the face of that? So there is buzz, always love no paying attention to buzz, that Senate Republicans may simply grind the Senate to a halt to the extent that they can. If the Mayorkas impeachment is tabled. All right. So Hannity asked Ted Cruz about that last night.
Well, the House is going to deliver articles of impeachment early next week. And under the Senate rules, when they do so, the Senate moves immediately into an impeachment trial. Here's what should happen under the Constitution. This has happened 21 times in our nation's history. 21 times the House has delivered articles of impeachment to the Senate. In 4 of those times, the Senate lacked jurisdiction. In 1 of them, the person impeached was a senator, and impeachment only lies against executive branch officials or judicial branch officials. So they dismissed that one for lack of jurisdiction. In 3 of them, the person was out of office, was no longer in office, so it was dismissed as moot because there was no longer anything to do once they were out of office. In the remaining 17 instances, in all of them, 100% of the times, the Senate convened for a trial, the Senate heard evidence, the Senate made an adjudication, and the Senate decided guilty or not guilty. That is what the Constitution prescribes. It's the Senate's sole authority, but it's also its responsibility. Next week, Chuck Schumer and the Democrats are planning to completely destroy the Constitution's impeachment power of the Senate. And rather than hear any evidence, simply to table the matter at the outset, to vote at the outset, we're not going to hear it at all. And I'll tell you, Sean, Schumer is doing this for 3 reasons. Number 1, He wants to prevent the House managers from presenting the evidence of what an absolute disaster Biden and the Democrats' open borders is. Number two, he wants to stop a trial from being held publicly because his only defense is to hide and hope that the media covers up the people who are dying and the risks to American safety from Biden's open borders. But number three, Chuck Schumer is desperately trying to protect vulnerable Senate Democrats in states like Montana and Ohio and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and Nevada to prevent them from having to vote guilty or not guilty. He's trying to dodge responsibility. If he does this, it will permanently destroy the Senate's authority to conduct impeachment trials. It will do permanent damage to the Senate.
He's completely right. And it's funny, just in hearing Ted talk about the degree to which the damage of actual testimony all day long that supposedly a few people would watch about our open borders. This Mayorkas impeachment hearing could do Biden more damage than his own impeachment hearing if it's all about Hunter's laptop. Just saying. Speaking of Biden, and it's funny, this doesn't occupy as much of our talk show day these days as it otherwise could, or as much as it does on the Hugh Hewitt show. And I value the degree to which Hugh pays attention to Israel and to America's abandonment of Israel under Joe Biden. It is shameful. It is corrupt. It is vile. The degree to which an American ally is being thrown under the bus so that Joe Biden can curry favor with the Hamas wing of the Democrat Party. So it's as we get into our home stretch here, Bree Jackson with the latest on this sad, sad parade.
Biden upped his criticism of Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu's role in the Israel-Hamas war, but the president is not making any significant changes to U.S. policy toward Israel. Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu vows to move forward with an offensive on Rafah, despite concerns from President Biden.
What I will tell you is I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous.
The president also warning that the conflict could widen, as Iran may be planning to hit targets inside Israel soon.
So he's warning that the conflict could widen. Well, yes. Always a danger. So because the conflict could widen, we tell Israel to stop fighting? Hey, guys, let's have 6 to 8 weeks of ceasefire so that all the aid workers can get in. Ah, yes, the aid workers. First of all, God bless aid workers. I get that. Did we stop bombing Dresden so that aid could get to the Germans? Did we, did the pilots of the Enola Gay, I don't know if we need to, let this payload go. Might need to let the aid workers get in there to Hiroshima and Nagasaki. I don't know. We had a war to win. We had a war to win. This is insane.
Address the Iranian threat to launch a significant, they're threatening to launch a significant attack on Israel. Mm. As I told Prime Minister Netanyahu, our commitment to Israel's security against these threats from Iran and its proxies is ironclad.
That's a lie.
Say it again. Ironclad.
That's a lie again.
We're going to do all we can to protect Israel's security.
That's a lie.
First of all, you're welcome here.
Israel's foreign minister threatened to respond and strike Iran directly if an attack does happen.
As well they should. I mean, bring it. Bring it.
The rising tensions come as calls for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas grow.
And where do they grow from? Where do those calls grow from? From the pro-Hamas wing of the Democrat Party.
Say bring all of the hostages home now as part of a comprehensive deal.
But that's Jamie Raskin. Bless his heart. He's got a cancer battle. I'm glad that's going well. What's not going well is the notion that, bring the hostages home now. Stop right there. You know how maybe the hostages come home? Hamas gets tired of having the living hell bombed out of it. Maybe it's like, let's just release the hostages. But here's the thing. Hamas doesn't care. They don't care. It's like, you want to bomb us? Bomb us. It's that kind of mindset that says, listen, for the greater good, we don't care who dies. That's tough when you're up against an enemy like that.
People once held hostage are urging the release of those still in captivity.
The message to the whole world, wake up. I want peace for the whole world.
That's Aviva Siegel, who is held hostage by Hamas. We all want peace for the whole world. You know what? Peace is, wow. Here, I don't even know who coined this. I've borrowed it. I've never made it my own because I can't say that it's my own. Peace is not the cessation of hostilities. Peace is not the stopping of hostilities. Peace is what you get when the good guys win. Peace is what you get when the good guys win. Israel, backed by us at one point in life, that's the good guys. They're the good guys in this battle. We need to be the good guys and be a faithful ally to them once again. Okay, this is just a ludicrous pivot. Who's the good guy? Who's the bad guy in Mike Tyson v. Jake Paul? I got nothing against either guy. As an old coot, I'm Team Tyson, I guess. I got nothing against. And listen, if Jake Paul floors Mike Tyson, listen, Evander Holyfield came back and fought, this was a couple of years ago, and so it's Evander in his 50s, and fought a just an up-and-coming boxer who was about Jake Paul's age, and he beat Evander like a bad habit. So I was like, but, you know, Evander ain't Tyson, as was proven in the ring back in the day a couple of times. So anyway,
Jake Paul doesn't have Tyson's record, but he's got youth, he's got power, and he's got athleticism. He's only 28 years old, and he only took up boxing just 4 years ago and continues to shock the world.
Right, there's some training videos, and here's Mike Tyson talking smack on
Jake
Hannity.
Jake Paul joins me now. Thanks for coming on, Jake.
Thank you, Jesse. I want to give a quick shout-out to my mom who's watching.
You can't not like the guy in a way. I don't know.
Mom, if you're watching this, I love you.
Mom, I want to give you a shout-out. I know you're probably not watching, but I love you, too.
Jesse's liberal mom.
So you heard Mike. Mike says you're making a mistake. What do you say? Are you?
Man, I think he's underestimating me. I truly think that. And it's a heavyweight fight. So, you know, he's the bigger man, but I'm the faster man. He's the much stronger man, but I'm fresh. He's experienced. I'm smart, but in the ring, he may be smarter. So it's a really interesting matchup, but I think the whole world and a lot of people see his training videos. And yes, he looks like a beast. He's a dog. He's Iron Mike Tyson, but I believe I have what it takes to beat him, and I know this is the toughest test of my life, and it's an honor to be in there with Mike, but at the end of the day, I'm going to be the one who gets my hand raised.
What a spectacular answer that is. And by the way, that is exactly what I want to hear about Jake Paul. Tyson is talking about Jake Paul like he's a punk. You know, I can't work on my Tyson. But Jake Paul is coming in and saying, look, it's an honor to be in the ring with him. He describes Tyson's obvious attributes, but just says, all other things being equal, I'm going to be the guy who gets my hand raised. And he may be. I don't know. That's what makes this pretty darn fascinating. So I'll be doing two things on July 20th, celebrating the 45th anniversary of Man on the Moon, and watching that fight. 9:50. Yeah, let a little Stevie Ray Vaughan take us out with a Hendrix record, Little Wing. How many of y'all figured it out already? I knew this day would come, and I knew you won a spring chicken, but just the mind fills with things to say and how to react, and I might need 21 hours to figure it out. Ladies and gentlemen, O.J. Simpson is dead at the age of 76. Maybe I should just leave that there and... Football star, actor, murderer. He did so much. Man, did he. And I mean, it was like when I was just starting to get into football. I mean, O.J. was huge. He'd been at USC and he was in the Bills. And little did I know the path that career would take. All right, listen, for Rhonda and Matt and for Nikki, just wow. Let me just absorb this for a little bit, and here it all comes. Talk a little OJ and a number of other things on tomorrow's Mark Davis Show. See you for a Friday at that time here on 660 AM. The Answer.
three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.